Tonight's episode of the 31st Lap Podcast is brought to you by DirtTrackDigest.com. If it's on dirt, it's on Dirt Track Digest.
This is the 31st Lap Podcast, recorded live in the studios of FingerLakes1.com in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now, your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to episode number 239 of the 31st Lab Podcast, coming to you live from the North Park building here at Academy Square. Excited to have everybody along for the ride this evening. We've got Dave Du Bois joining us here on the hotline to talk a little bit about the upcoming season and a couple of the partnerships that he's got lined up for 2018. Dave's car was among them on display at the Arnott Mall when Woodhull had their car show down there, so we'll get to him here and talk a little bit about the upcoming season. Dave was waiting in the wings. Now, Dave, how are you?
Good. How are you?
We're doing okay. We're at the shop tonight working on the car, getting ready for opening weekend festivities, or as close as we're going to get with the weather in the area.
Yeah, we're out here tonight. We're just doing the final touches on the car, getting it scaled and all the fine-tuning. We're going to run practice tomorrow night at Outlaw Speedway in Dundee, New York. And Then they already canceled the opening show for Woodhull Raceway, which is my home track. But we'll still be running practice there this Saturday.
Yeah, I saw Woodhull and Atlanta Legends Speedway both canceling their opening races, but practice session still on deck. Woodhull, which you alluded to, going to be racing in the weeks to come, but practice instead on the deck for Saturday from 2 to 6 o'clock. It's been a long winter, and I got to believe that these last couple weeks, especially being out at the mall shows and being in and around all the race cars with their fresh paints and their fresh looks, has made this iffy weather the last 2-3 weeks really making it much, much harder to bear as you're so close to the racing season, but it just can't get started.
Yeah, we've been itching. We've been itching to get out there, and everyone's complaining that the races are canceled, and I'm like, hey, I still get to jump in the car. I still get to run. I still get to go around the track. I'm really excited to be able to go and run still at Woodhull.
The partnership for this year, two big programs. The first one coming back is the recruitment center and Horseheads for the United States Army, and coming on board also the Badge of Honor Association, that program supporting the families and those that are police officers that are injured or killed in the line of duty. A couple of great programs. How did first of and foremost the U.S. Army Recruitment Center, how did that get put together? And then, as I understand it, that led to the springboard into getting Badge of Honor's interest after that.
So the way it worked, give you the kind of the history of my whole family was in law enforcement. My father and my two uncles worked for the Village of Bath Police Department. And late in life, I decided that, well, I wanted to be a police officer. Mm-hmm. And one of the quickest ways to do that was to enlist in the military.
Right.
So I enlisted in the United States Army as a military police officer. And when I enlisted, some of the recruiters there were great. And one of them that really stuck out was Sergeant First Class Cansdale. And he immediately took me under his wing and was great to me and great to us. And I was advertising on Facebook about sponsorships for the car last year. And Sergeant Cansdale was joking, "Nah, too easy, $5. I said, right. we'll talk offline. And next thing I know, we got it all set up. They come out as my biggest sponsor of the whole year for last year.
Sure.
They got us into a lot of big events. Our biggest one was we were the only dirt car at NASCAR at Watkins Glen last year. We had our car on display right by pit road at Watkins Glen for the 3 days at NASCAR. Huge, big hit, big success. Can't thank them guys enough for all the publicity from that. I've done lots of other little shows with them, and we have a lot more planned this year with the Army. I know coming up we're doing we're going to Tioga Downs Casino for a future soldiers event. We'll have the car down there. So that's how we got the U.S. Army on board, and then I reached out one day looking for some more sponsors, and I thought I want to do something that's relevant to what I do, what my family did, and I want to be a benefit to a lot of people, because anybody on that track is just going to go out there and slap a sticker on a car. Well, that's not what you get from Du Bois Motorsports. We're out there I'm advertising all over Facebook, all over my car. I'm going to events. I'm going to sponsors' businesses and events and stuff like that. And I really wanted to bring on a pro law enforcement. Mm-hmm. Well, it just so happened I found the badge of honor, and on a whim, I send them a message, and I got a reply. So I decided for last year that I was going to put badge of honor on the car for free, no cost. I just wanted to do it. So I went out. I had a whole bunch of stickers made. A couple more doors opened with the Bath Police Department and the Steuben County Sheriff's Office, and it was perfect. We did photo shoots with them. You can find them on our Facebook. We did those last year, and then it just kept opening up to more events. Next thing I knew it, we were doing photos at Watkins Glen again with the Badge of Honor Association, with New York State Police K-9 units. Anybody that was in law enforcement was stopping by looking for our car. And then I worked it out with Justin Collins, the CEO, and Clark Brown, who's been a great help to me with this. And we got it all lined up for this year. We're doing several events. It's going to be a real good year for us. It's going to be a real good year for Badge of Honor. It's going to be a real good year for law enforcement.
Badge of Honor takes care of 25 counties, if I remember the number correctly from...
Yeah, so far, and they're growing. They're right. Still growing. Right now they're doing upstate New York. And I wanted to talk a little bit about today. In the last 2 days, we've had a police officer killed. Kevin Crossley out of Whitesboro, New York, was killed in an MVA responding to an accident. Mm-hmm. And in Genesee County Sheriff's Office had to use deadly force and shoot and kill a suspect, and luckily that officer survived. And just within hours of that happening, Badge of Honor was right on top of it, offering assistance to these families and these members in law enforcement. And it just comes to show you that they're really there for what they believe in.
So what do they offer in terms of support? I mean, we know how difficult the job of law enforcement can be, and can't really take lightly the fact that those individuals put their lives on the line every day, because when you, even on a routine traffic stop, you don't really know what you're walking up on, and it could go to an emergency situation in a hurry. It was routine as a traffic stop can be.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do they offer in terms of support?
A lot, and I know Justin Collins is getting real big lately. They're doing pre-law enforcement stuff. So for people that are coming into law enforcement, they're teaching you how to be physically fit for law enforcement, how to pass the test, giving you tips on how to protect yourself, and how to be a good police officer, but as well as financial support to the families of the fallen officers. And I was reading about offering for officers involved in critical incidents and post-traumatic stress and how to handle things like that.
Right. Mental health is such a buzz topic these days, especially with the conversations surrounding gun control and things like that, and post-traumatic stress syndrome and situations like that are tied closely to returning veterans. And sometimes I think that the stuff that our police forces go through can be just as traumatic. In addition to offering financial support so that they can physically recover, do they also have an element or something coming down the line that tends to that mental aspect so that they can recover both, you know, physically and mentally?
It's coming down the line. It is in the works. And you're right. Everybody in being in the military myself, everybody harps on veterans having PTSD, which they often forget about the people we have here at home.
Sure.
I spent 11 years so far I have in the fire service with the Bath Fire Department, Steuben County Regional Rescue Task Force, and Bath Ambulance. So I know what it's like out there.
Yeah.
And post-traumatic stress is a big deal with a lot of these guys, and it goes unnoticed.
Sure.
And I was actually reading today that more police officers, firefighters, and EMS committed suicide in the last year than they had line of duty deaths. And
wow.
That's a very big deal. That's a very big problem. And that's something that needs to be targeted.
Yep. I mean, I remember as a senior, junior, senior in high school, freshman in college, hearing stories from my father, Mark, who does photography for racing and in different faculties and in different facilities. And when he was active in his first tours as the chief of the volunteer fire department at home, he had to respond to a really, really ugly motor vehicle accident. It was the first fatality that he had to oversee as the fire chief of the responding department. This was, I mean, that's going back into the 80s, but even in the late 90s and early 2000s, he still had nightmares and relived it. And it was real tough for him. So, I mean, that's just a small example of some of the awful things that some of these first responders have to see and go through, and to have support like this, not just for them, but also for the families that unfortunately at times are left behind. I think it's a great program, and it's great that they've embraced motorsports as a way to get the word out about what they're doing. You know, and it's not like they waited for the opportunity to throw piles and piles of money at a NASCAR team. They elected to keep it local and work with a sportsman guy like you.
Yeah, and for me, I seem to think I just got lucky. I talked to the right people at the right time. They've never targeted a market like this. They've never done anything like this, and I'm very happy that I was able to bring them to this and welcome them into racing like this, and I hope that we can keep this going for a very long time and make this a very big, popular thing for them.
What was the sell like? The sell of yourself to them to talk about the exposures, and you know, so many businesses want to know about stuff like rate of return and how many exposure hits you're going to have, and your social media is very active with the Facebook page, and I got to believe that also factored into it as well. What was that sell like from your side of things? Not so much the sale of the space on the car, but the upsell of saying, we can offer you this.
Yeah, so I don't want to give away all my secrets, but I have become very lucky in targeting markets over the last 2 years, and I've worked, I've hustled, I've called people, mm-hmm. I go way out of my way to do things for people that I like to believe that other teams aren't going to do for them.
Sure.
I took my car to almost all my sponsors last year and took photos with them.
Right.
I took my car to any event I could squeeze it into my schedule. It's funny, I was just on the phone with Kirsten, my girlfriend, who handles, mm-hmm. she handles all my scheduling and stuff for all these events, and she goes, you got so much going on. I don't know how we're going to do all this. I had 6 things jammed in for this weekend for this race car.
Wow.
And we're trying to fit it all together. And I'm very busy. I'm very proactive. I'm always involved in my race team. I'm always involved in my car. I'm always involved with my guys. They're not just the guys that work on my car. They're my best friends, you know. So and the other thing as far as advertising, I'll tell you, is it's not just me.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing for me to go out there and share a post. It's all my guys.
Sure.
It's all my family. It's all my friends. It's all my fans, and it's all their friends and family. And for example, I don't know if you saw that vote they did for Woodhull Raceway
yep.
yesterday to get an interview. I mean, I didn't know that post was posted, and the guy was beating me. Well, as soon as I saw it, I went out and did what I do. I advertised.
Right.
And just like that, it took off. And that wasn't single-handedly because of me. That was because of everybody that supports me. And when you talk about advertising, it's not me doing it by myself. I was supposed to do a car show this weekend. I wasn't even going to be there. My right-hand guy was going to take the truck and trailer up for me to put the car there with Badge of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
We're still going to try to make it there, but with the schedule change with Woodhull, we gotta take a look back at the board and see what we're going to do now.
Sure. Is there some just jealousy at all? I mean, you had the car at the Arnott Mall here a couple weeks back, and it's all decked out with all these logos and everything, and your buddies, do they come by and give you a fair amount of ribbing at all about being able to recruit sponsors and being as visible as you are?
Nobody's said a word to me. Nobody's reached out to me. Nobody's asked how. You know, people, they like the car, and you know, honestly, the only person who's ever really asked and ever really took wanted to know was Steve Ovens.
Yeah.
And he's helped me so much in the last year with advertising as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he fairly advertises everybody.
Sure.
But like, we did interviews, and we all did interviews at the mall show, and I was looking back at Woodhull Raceway, and I'm only going to say this because I can back it up, is if you look at all the interviews of all the drivers, everybody got around 3,000 to 4,000 views. Mine was at like 6.5
right?
out of everybody. So, but then again, it's not just me. It's who I'm targeting for sponsors and markets, who I'm trying to help, and then it's all my fan base and my friends and my family that back me up. I don't think it's me single-handedly that's better than anybody else, because I'm not. I'm just a guy that owns a race car that wants to make people aware of good things.
I don't know if the term better is fair, but I think just in our couple conversations and in talking with Steven a little bit about the exchange and the recognition that you've been able to earn from Badge of Honor and from the recruitment center in Horseheads for the U.S. Army, I don't know if better's fair, but I think that it is representative of the situation to call it more versed or more aware. You're certainly using the tools at your disposal more effectively than some teams. We've had a lot of conversations with folks on this topic here on the 31st Lap about, you know, marketing yourself and getting it out there and giving a team something more than just a panel on the race car. And just in our conversations, you're doing that. And it doesn't take anything but effort, really, you know, to go out there and get that out there so that people are getting something back for the advertising dollar they're investing in the car. It's great to have the car out there in victory lane. It's great to have the car out there at the track every week. But when you're out there hitting the passerby fan or somebody who's not even experienced with racing and things along those lines, it certainly does help when you're out there doing car shows. And look at the leads that it has led into, moving first from the recruitment center and Horseheads, and now to Badge of Honor, which is a program that's obviously important to you, not just because of the work that they do, but because of your family background and your own background.
Yeah, I want to go back on that. I don't think I'm better than anybody out there. I can go out there and advertise for a sponsor, mm-hmm. but there's twice as many guys that have maybe do a little better with their sponsors, and maybe have a little more money backing them because of who they are and who they race for.
Sure.
There's some guys that go out there that don't even pay for their own cars.
Yeah, that's true.
Everything is paid for. For me, I just want people to know who the Badge of Honor Association is, what they do, what they offer, and how we can help people. Same with the Army. I mean, I'm not just recruiting for the Army for people to join the Army. I truly think it's a good cause. I joined the Army myself.
Right.
You know, so I'm not just saying, hey, join the Army. You know, I did it.
And that joining the Army thing isn't a flippant joining of the Army. It was legitimate. You gave up half a season of racing to follow what was required of you in your duties with the United States Army.
Yeah, and that was a big deal for us. Me and my buddy Zach Davidson, my dad decided he was going to retire, so me and Zach put some money together. We never owned a race car team before. We put some money together, and we went out and bought a chassis and a motor together. And we put the car together, and then I had to go. I had to go do my training and do all that stuff. And I was, hey, Dad, I know you retired, and we wrote all these articles about you retiring and everything, and you said you were never going to come back and get in a race car, but you want to drive my car for me? So, and he was very happy to do it, and he was very successful in the beginning of the season. Running these great sportsmen is not an easy class to race, and especially going from a 370 modified down to a 350 crate.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your dad right there. Your dad and his brother, your uncle, Bob and Andy, started the race team with a super stock over at Woodhull, and then it was Black Rock Speedway. And it was a track that was a division that was pretty exclusive just to Black Rock. It wasn't quite a pro stock. It wasn't quite a street stock, but it wasn't quite anything else beyond that. It was a weird entity, and he was with that for a long time before he got the chance to drive for Skip Starkey in the 6X and had some success there, and then ended up buying that team out and kept the 6X until he kicked it back to the number 29. Meanwhile, in the interim of all that happening, you're moving up through the ranks of go-karts and moving through the four cylinders to get to a point where you're ready to climb into a sportsman operation, and your dad steps away, you're ready to jump in, and then just like that, you're off to the Army. He jumps in, wins some races. There's a bunch of different places to jump off at. First, was he willing to get out of the car and give it back after he found some success with the car?
Oh, absolutely. He said, "Yours, take it." I mean, he loves racing. He's a diehard race fan, and he's there every weekend with me. Mm-hmm. But it was time for him to get out and for me to take over. Mm-hmm. And it's very stressful. And especially in the sport that we're in, there's not a lot of people that want to back a race team. It's hard to find sponsors. It really is. It's hard to find money. And I had about $13,000 in my car last year before it even touched the track.
Wow. It's a lot of money.
And so he was ready to be done. He owns his own business. He's got a lot going on. But, you know, I want to go back. You talk about the super stock. I don't know how those guys did it. They started in a garage the size of most people's bedrooms.
Right.
You know, and they really turned it into something. And the shop I'm sitting in right now upstairs is all my dad's trophies, all his plaques, anything he's ever won, you know. And he keeps it upstairs here in the shop. And I just hope to someday be able to accomplish what that man has accomplished in his racing career. Mm-hmm. And to be able to work side by side with him, as soon as I'm done and I get done racing, as soon as I'm done with the race, he don't let anybody get in my window but him. He's the first person I have to talk to because he's my main line. And then me and him go in the trailer by ourselves. We talk about what happened, what it was, and then we adjust the car. My dad has a very specific way of racing, and it's been successful for him, and I hope it's very successful for me.
You mentioned how they had their starts, and he came up through in the 90s and early 2000s, when even then it wasn't every local shop on the corner, every car dealership in town that had a race car. Those days had all since gone away, and they were in that oddball class that essentially, that as it evolved, it sort of priced itself out of feasibility, and that sort of orchestrated the change with the rebirth of the street stock class, which then kind of left open the door for the late models to come back in. So there's a lot of evolution in there through Black Rock and Yates County Speedway and now Outlaw Raceway, as they had a lot of different changes there between the 358s and then the sprint cars being a home track division. The 358s came back, and now it's modifieds, and the Sportsman was the headline class there for a little while. So there's a lot of ebb and flow there for a little over a decade. And your dad was able to be successful in a bunch of the different divisions. And now you've...
Yeah, and for that band to go out there and run in that class with what they had back in the 90s and early 2000s, and then to get picked up by a car owner like Skip Starkey. Mm-hmm. I mean, here my dad was running the super stock, you know, winning some races and stuff, and Skip Starkey walks in and says, "Hey, you want to drive for me?" And that just completely changed the ball game for Du Bois Motorsports.
Sure.
We then fell under Starkey Motorsports for, I think, about 8 or 9 years until Skip had enough, and then my dad had bought Skip out.
And then
the day that Skip Starkey had passed away, we were racing. Mm-hmm. And the impact that man had on my father and on our race team is just incredible.
Sure. Skip was a good dude. I remember meeting him. He had those bright red modifieds, and saw him a lot of times when I was working at Black Rock Speedway on Friday nights. And always a good guy to talk to, good conversation, and had the chance to see your dad win some races, which, you know, you're surrounded now by all those trophies, and you hope to accomplish that. It's a much, much different atmosphere. You were talking about having $13,000 invested in your sportsman car. It's supposed to be an affordable class at $13,000. That's a pretty sizable investment. And even if running the sportsman car, you're winning just about every time out. I don't know how you're covering your expenses, because you still have to buy fuel. You still have to get tires. You still have to travel to get there. You've got a regular maintenance program that you have to be on top of, because grip and getting traction is so important in keeping your momentum up with those motors. You can't afford to let anything slip in terms of your suspension packages, and keeping that forward drive off the corners is so important with any of the different open wheel divisions for that matter. I just don't see how you can make it by yourself, even if you've got a couple of good sponsors. The revenue to fully fund a race team, it's not easy to come by.
It's tough, and I've been lucky. I've always had really good jobs. I've always had well paid jobs, but it's still never enough for racing.
Right.
And it's hard to target the right markets and get the amount of money, because how do you go to somebody and say, hey, give me a ton of money and I promise that I'm going to advertise for you and it's going to work? Who trusts that anymore, you know?
Right.
That's why when I do my sponsorship proposals, I put in there that we have proven success, and I show that in my sponsorship proposals. But even though, like, the only reason I made it through last year was my dad had a ton of spare parts left over from when he was racing. And a lot of nights one night I remember I blew out a front end at Woodhull. Mm-hmm. And we were, ooh, how are we going to get this ready for next week? We had some spare parts upstairs. And everybody thinks about the startup cost of what it takes to put a car together. Well, it's expensive all the way through the whole year because... you got to buy tires all year long. You blow out a shock, you got to buy new shocks all year long. You blow out any rear end bars, you got to buy them. You got to buy the fuel to put in the car, you got to pay to get to track. And let me tell you something, that heavy enclosed trailer I got really sucks the fuel down on my Chevy pickup.
I believe it.
It is expensive, but we do it.
Well, that's one of the reasons
we're
there
every weekend, and we couldn't do it without our sponsors.
I think that's one of the reasons why you see that late summer die-off, where people just plain run out of money. I mean, this time of year, it's a little bit different program, a little bit different situation, because so many people are getting their tax refunds back. It helps put the finishing touches and puts a little bit of money in the kitty to do a little bit of traveling with. But, you know, you see late July, middle of August, you see those car counts start to drop down and down as some of those lesser-funded teams, they just can't make the repairs that they need to. And it only takes a little bit of bad luck to sort of sideline something. The nice part about the crate sportsman program is the engines are fairly reliable, and you don't have to run as expensive a race fuel through it to run the car on a weekly basis, which certainly does help.
Yeah, I mean, and great example, when I took the team over, we went out and bought a new car and motor, and my dad was like, hey, I got a motor for you, and I said, I can't. I will not be able to keep up with a 370.
Right.
That'll suck my funds right dry, and I'm not going to be able to keep up with them, guys. Our motor was already under lacking.
Sure.
So I was like, you know, for my startup year, I can't afford a modified. We got to go to crate. And, you know, I thought this year was going to be my expensive year for racing, but I come to find out it's going to be next year because last year we went out and bought a new chassis. Mm-hmm. And we used it all year last year, and we're using it again this year. And next year, I think it's going to be time for a new chassis, a new motor, a new rear end. We got some really good stuff underneath us right now, but everybody else is going out and buying brand new cars as well. There's a lot of tough competition at Woodhull this year. I went down to Five Mile Point last year for the Great Crate Race. In my heat, I run third.
Mm-hmm.
And I was running against some really good cars.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a really good car myself, and I think I'm going to have a really good car again this year, but next year is going to be our upgrade year, and we got to find the money to do it.
So by upgrade, you mean you're upgrading the equipment to continue to run Crate Sportsman, or are you looking to jump up to the 370s or another type of modified?
that sounds like a trap. No, as far as I know, we're staying in the crates.
Yeah.
I have another car, and I have a modified motor, and I always think about tinkering and putting it in just to play, but every time I think that, I tell myself no.
Right. Because what happens if you do that and then in turn like it?
I better start working overtime, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose.
And you know what? The crates is tough, but the modifieds is even tougher.
Yeah.
especially now that they're opening up big block, small block, which I think is going to make for a pretty good show. Mm-hmm. But you just got to have the money to do it. And some of the guys, great, they got the money to do it. Mm-hmm. I can't be going out and running a 370 modified.
I can understand that. You know, it's a big investment. A lot of people have trouble making that jump. You know, that's one of the reasons why that crate program has been so successful, like it has.
Yeah, and I think we're gonna have a great turnout this year with crates.
Tell me more about running the crate car at a track like Woodhull. It's high banked. It's a tight. You know, we hear the comparisons to paper clips all the time, but it's got those ultra high banks. What's it like to drive the sportsman car there? Because so much is reliant on momentum with the crate program. You don't have the raw power to get you out of trouble.
Well, and I've heard some people complain about Woodhull because it's a hard track to drive. Mm-hmm. But I've run at Woodhull, I've run at Outlaw, and I've run at 5 Mile Point so far. And the funnest, best track I've ever run on is Woodhull.
Right.
Woodhull Raceway just is a different style. The corners are different. The track is different. But I will tell you, you're not going to find the ruts at Woodhull like you do at Outlaw, because you're dodging them things left and right. And I'm not trying to say anything bad about Outlaw, but it's just there's other things you got to look out for at other tracks. I like running Outlaw. I like running 5 Mile Point. I'm going to be going back to all those tracks again this year, and I'm going to try to go to even more tracks. Sure. But I just, nothing beats Woodhull Raceway. It's some of the best racing surface I've been on. I really enjoy it. It's a fast track. It's tight. It's really tight. It would be like the Martinsville of NASCAR. And I don't think you're going to get any better racing than you do at Woodhull.
Right. Now, in terms of what you do with the car, I mean, logic lends that you're going to have to run upper high groove, middle and upper groove to keep the momentum up so that you keep your RPMs higher and in turn stay in the power band more, but can you get the sportsman car to drop to the bottom and still run competitive?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, one guy who does that is Donnie Lawson.
Yep.
And he's always been really good running on, I mean, that guy could pretty much run anywhere, but he does good on the bottom. And his son's running the crate now, and I tell you mm-hmm. what, God bless him, but that kid runs right on the bottom, and when I get behind him, I can't get by him.
Right.
Can't get by him. Them, as we call them bottom feeders, they are fast at Woodhull. And that's the thing about Woodhull. Every groove is fast.
Right.
I mean, I can put my car in any groove and still be fast, and that's, you get your 3 wide, sometimes even 4 wide. It's a really nice track to run. There's lots of different options, and that's what makes the racing very competitive. Anybody can win. Sure. It's really anybody's race in the crate.
The nice thing about that crate program is that it really has brought back a lot of the driver. You can pour as much money as you want into the car, and it's going to help you some. But if you can't nail the setup, and you can't keep the speed up, and you can't build momentum, and you can't find a way to pass, and you can't make the car work on multiple grooves, and you can't figure out the setup, all the money in the world isn't going to fix it.
Yeah, and you talk about all the money I put into my car last year. It's a stock GM sealed motor, mm-hmm. and it's a Troyer chassis.
Right.
What else can you really change? Everything else relies on how many tires you buy, what you're running for your shocks, mm-hmm. And how you set your car up. You can put $25,000 into a crate car easily. Anybody can put that amount of money into it.
Right.
But what's nice is guys can go out and put $6,000-$7,000 into it and still be competitive.
So what does this year need in terms of, we'll get into where else you're going outside of Woodhull here in a second, but what's the season goal? What do you need to accomplish this year for Badge of Honor and for the U.S. Army Recruitment Center? What do you need to accomplish for the year to be successful? What's the goal?
One win.
One win?
That's my goal. Last year I came out with no wins. Mm-hmm. I had some good top finishes, but I didn't have any wins. And a lot of the question I always get from anybody, when you tell them you're a race car driver, how many races have you won?
Sure.
You know, I mean, I won in my four-cylinder and I won in my go-karts, but I haven't got it done in the crate sportsman. Granted, I didn't have a lot of time to do it,
right.
And it is a very tough class. I would like to win just one race. That's all I need. But even more so, I just want to get to those other tracks, let people know who I am, what the Badge of Honor is, you know, the U.S. Army, get my sponsors out there. I can go out and run at 5 Mile Point all year long, and I'd be happy with top 5 finishes. And one of the things that my dad always told me was, you don't have to be in first every time to be a good race car driver.
Sure.
Many times I started in the rear last year, and I worked my way up to fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, wherever, top ten.
Right.
You know, the best drivers don't always run at the front.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the good drivers, you don't have to be first place to be successful. I like that theory, because a lot of times you'll hear guys say that, you know, we had a fifth-place car tonight, but we finished second. Or we had an eighth-place car, we drove up to third. It's all about getting the absolute most out of the car on any given night and scoring as much points as you can and getting as much exposure as you can for your sponsors. Making the reference to 5 Mile Point and also to Outlaw, are there plans to run there on any type of regular basis? Is there a hard schedule where you're going to say you're running for points both at the Friday track and the Saturday track, or is it just going to be as time allows?
It's going to be as time and finances allow. Yeah. I am still in the military, so mm-hmm. I still do have to do my duties to the – I'm in the reserves now, so mm-hmm. I have to – so there might be some chances that I might not make it.
Sure.
But – yeah, we're gonna try and do it as we can. I mean, I'm not gonna be racing for points or anything at any of these other tracks. Just, I mean, really strictly, I'm just gonna go out and spend money and advertise. Have fun. Have fun is the biggest thing.
Right.
If I go out to a track and I ran my hardest all night long and I can drive the car back in the trailer, that's a good night.
That sure is. It sure is, especially early in the season.
Yeah. Well, and that's what we were talking. There was a big race down in Allentown, and I was like, man, I just want to get out on the track, and I want to go run. But then I'm thinking, I ain't never been there. I'll go, with my luck, I'll go out there and pile that car up, and then I won't have a car for Woodhull.
Yep. You gotta be smart about it. Just a better understand and give some clarity to the folks listening at home. The schedule that you had last year, was that the year that you missed? That was half. You missed half of the year because you were in your training system for the U.S. Army, or was that 2016?
Yeah, I was out the beginning of the year. I left in February, and I got back in June. I spent a couple months in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, doing some training. And then I came home. I was home for 2 weeks, and then they sent me back out to Fort Dix, New Jersey, for another 2 weeks of training.
Mm-hmm. So that was all focused on military police in the reserves?
Yeah. When I was in Fort Leonard Wood, we did a lot of training, what they call garrison law enforcement, or garrison. There's combat, and then there's garrison law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
We did both combat military police and then garrison military police, so we rolled around in Humvees with machine guns, did all the cool stuff, and then we rode around in patrol cars around the base. But when I went to Fort Dix, New Jersey, we did the same thing. We worked out of a FOB off the base, did just law enforcement stuff, physical security, investigations, things like that.
And that's in your blood between the fire department and now working police service at home. And, you know, the lineage that goes back with your dad and your uncle, that you basically had no choice but to be a race driver and a police officer.
Yeah, and I mean, even firefighting, the number 29.
It was your dad's line number, right?
That was my dad's line number in the fire department. He was a volunteer firefighter in Bath, and they said, what number are we going to use? Well, number 29. Because that was his line number. So from a young age, I knew I wanted to be a firefighter. I joined the fire department when I was 14. I did a lot of schooling for it. That's what I thought I wanted to be. I worked as a paid firefighter for Watkins Glen. And I interviewed with many fire departments all the way down to Myrtle Beach.
Wow.
And one day I was like, I've done enough firefighting. I've done it for 11 years. I served as a captain with Bath. I served on the Traveling Rescue Task Force for Steuben County, and I served on Bath Ambulance. And I said, maybe it's time to pick a different career path, and I decided I wanted to join law enforcement.
Right.
And I was kind of, it's still tentative. I was kind of keeping it on the down low, but I'm in the process of accepting a job with the Steuben County Sheriff's Office, working over here in Bath, doing corrections right now.
Very nice.
So hopefully that's my foot in the door to civilian.
Right. It wouldn't be bad. wouldn't be bad. I'm sure that your girlfriend would be happy to get you a little bit closer to that civilian life and a little further removed from some of the more hazardous elements of the police officer lifestyle.
Oh yeah, and I mean my ultimate goal is still a full-time civilian police officer, and I think I'll really enjoy working for the sheriff's office. I'm still in the hiring process, but. Sure.
So we talked a little bit about Five Mile Point, Outlaw, in addition to running as much as possible at Woodhull. Are there any tracks that there's so many tracks now that have the Crate Sportsman division? You've got a ton of different options. Are there any tracks that you're looking to try to get to and check off the to-do list this year? Any place that you really, really want to get the opportunity to race at?
I'm going to say it, but I know I'm going to go up there and get my butt kicked, but that's because that's where the best drivers go. I want to go to Albany, Saratoga.
Uh-huh.
I've watched countless videos of these guys up there running, and they got some big names up there.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a bucket list thing.
Sure.
You know, you drive the 4 hours. I want to race. I want to get on the track. I want to compete.
Is that something that is on the schedule to do? I mean, are we looking at some of the early weekend action when the cars and everything are still fresh at trying to make that trip to Albany, Saratoga?
I think I might wait a little bit. I want to see how we're going to make out with points. I want to see how the year is going to start, kind of get my feet wet. Every year I tear my car completely down to the bare frame, and I build it back up.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make sure I got all the bugs worked out.
Right. Well, I don't think there's any ill decision making there. Going back through it with a fine-tooth comb after the busy season isn't a bad decision. You got a couple different options that are a little bit closer to where we are in Seneca Falls. Fulton Speedway, who draws enough Crate Sportsman cars to run two features on a given Saturday through the course of the summer. Canandaigua Speedway, Land of Legends Raceway now. They've got a practice session scheduled for Saturday as well. We'll get into that at the end of the show. They've got a pretty healthy Sportsman division as well with some regular front runners with the Sportsman Super Dirt Car Series. You ever put any thought into trying your luck against the likes of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really open to travel anywhere. This is kind of an experimental year for me.
Sure.
Who knows? If we go to some of these tracks and we compete well and, you know, we got the money to do it, maybe we'll get on a different schedule. I'm still always going to compete at Woodhull every week. That's my home track. That's where I got started. Nothing to me is ever going to beat Woodhull, but I would like to venture out. And if I could manage to do that on a regular schedule, then, yeah, anything's possible.
We've talked a lot about the different collection of sponsors that you got on the car, but I'm sure that there's some names that go with those decals that are on the car right now. Is there anybody that you wanted to make mention of that we haven't already brought up in addition to Badge of Honor Association and the Army Recruitment Center and Horseheads?
Yeah, first I just want to start with going back on the Badge of Honor Association.
Mm-hmm.
Clark Brown has been the biggest blessing to me and my race team, and he is hands-on. He's texting me every day, you know, a couple times a week. We're really creating more than just a business aspect of it. He's becoming one of my real good friends. We talk regularly. He's a retired police officer, and he has done so much for me, and he's always pushing for me, and he's always asking me how things are going and whatnot. So Clark Brown has been awesome to us, and I can't thank that guy enough for everything, for the Badge of Honor Association.
Sure.
Going to the Horseheads Army Recruited Center, Sergeant First Class Cansdale, awesome guy. He set that up for us. He's been with me every step of the way. Same thing. It's beyond business with us. You know, we're becoming real good friends, and I was just talking to him on the phone last night. So those guys have really gone out of their way to help me. Now, some of my other sponsors I'd like to talk about.
Sure.
Dave's Colonial Motors. That's my father's business here in Bath. He owns an automotive repair shop.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty well known in the area. Great sponsor. He does a lot for me. He's working on my car three nights a week. If I'm not there, he is. Another one of my best sponsors. I also got the Bargain Barn in Arkport. This is her second year on board with us. Page Orthopedic Sports and Physical Therapy in Bath, second year sponsor, and they're real great to us as well. Joel's Auto Haven here in Bath, they're second year as well. And then I wanted to mention, I got two new sponsors that I just picked up within the last week. And the first one I'm going to talk about is Mary Ann's Italian Kitchen in Woodhull. Now, I don't know, a lot of people listening might not know anything about Woodhull, but it's a little town. It's got one main street. And they're the best place in town. I go there and eat lunch there every day. They came on as one of our sponsors this year, so you guys will have to check that out. They're going to host our annual race party this year. I don't have the dates for that yet. We will be releasing that here soon. Hopefully, I have a meeting with her next Sunday to discuss the party and all the dates. And we know we're late in the year for a race party, but we're still going to go ahead with it.
Sure.
And another sponsor I wanted to bring on board was Homestead Hog Farms in Bath, New York. Real great friend of mine. I've worked for, it's owned by Jake Magzamin and his family. I've worked for Jake for a few years now. They're great people. They're a fourth generation family farm. They raise all the feed for their pigs and cattle. They do both terrific meat, the quality and flavor. I mean, just our freezer is packed full of this guy's stuff. It's just, you can't beat it. And they're just, they're going to become one of my real good sponsors. They're great people, and Jake's always taking care of me, and I'm really glad to have them on board this year. They're going to be providing some of the pigs for the race party at Mary Ann's, so just everybody be watching for that on our Facebook page. That'll be shared all over.
Just recapping the list of sponsors quick, you've got a hog farm that makes for a good pig roast at the end of the year. You've got the Italian Kitchen, which is a pretty good option. And then you've got a physical therapy place, so if the track gets too rough, you can go get taken care of there. That's a pretty good combination of sponsors.
yeah, they're real good. Yep. I'd like to say that I did that on purpose, but it just kind
of
happened.
What'd we miss? We hit on a lot of stuff here. It's already been 45 minutes. I can't believe how fast the time's gone by.
Yeah, I know. This has been great. One of the things I do want to touch on, though, is my Facebook page.
Go.
If I could get people to just go out and like my page and share my stuff, people don't understand how big of an impact that has. Social media has become a huge form of advertisement and communication in today's age. And all the likes and shares and stuff really spreads the word of a lot of things. And for my team especially, spreads the word of a lot of good things that do things for a lot of good people. And the busier my Facebook is, the better. You know, if I'm out there sharing everything, we need feedback. We need to know what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, what people want to see. I just invested in some camera systems and GoPros. We're going to try and do more Facebook Live stuff. And I talked with Steve Ovens about putting in-car cameras in my car, both facing outward and inward. Just for everybody going on, we're going to start recording in the pits so that everybody can kind of see what happens. What does it take to run a team? How busy are you guys? We're trying to jump on that bandwagon of social media and really just bring everything to life for our fans so people can see what it is other than just, oh, we take our car to the track every week. Because it truly is a lot more than that.
There's no shortage of work to be done in the pits, and it's a lot more than just, oh, well, it's time to put the car on the trailer and bring it to the track and go race a heat and a feature and bring it back home and wait for next weekend.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we work 3-4 nights a week on this thing in between races. Some weeks it's even busier, depends on what we break.
That's ominous at times, but I can understand what you're saying.
yeah. I mean, my goal is just go out there, run clean, and it's always great to have that competition on the track. But I want to get along with everybody. You know, I don't like to be bumping heads with guys. You know,
sure.
Any bad blood between anybody, I just want to squash it. Just go out and race. We're not there to beat each other's cars up. We're not there to argue about this or that. We're just all there for the same reason. We just want to race, have fun.
That's very true. And the racing is right around the corner. Woodhull Raceway has canceled their racing for Saturday, but they're still going to run a practice session from 2 to 6 on Saturday. Land of Legends Raceway over in Canandaigua, they have an open practice session as well scheduled for Saturday. Tonight, obviously, the weather has proven to be inclement, and they weren't going to be able to get their test session in. So that is off the table. They did test their new lighting system. Looks pretty good. So they're fine-tuning the aim of all the lights and everything. And getting ready to go. So now their opener at Land of Legends Raceway moving to April the 21st. Outlaw Speedway, the plan is right now that they are going to have their practice session tomorrow night, Friday the 13th is the plan for that, with the intention of opening up next weekend with that huge Spring Nationals show that they've got on deck. Fulton Speedway is going to be practicing on the 21st. And that's open to any dirt surface race car. And that's going to be another afternoon test session for them. Starts at 2 o'clock. Grandstand admission is free to all of these and is about, you know, $20-$25 for pit access at all these practice sessions we just alluded to. Mike Mahaney was active on social media this week. He announced that he was going to be at Outlaw Speedway tomorrow night with the Emery Sprinter, which is going to be good to see. Have him out there in his ride. And then another note that came through the pipelines this week was the Speedway Showcase, which was the program from Weed Sport Speedway that they started last year that sort of did a little bit of a recap, is now going to be on broadcast television in 2018. So congratulations to the guys over at Weed Sport getting picked up. They're going to be airing on the CW in the Buffalo, Rochester, and Syracuse markets. They're going to be focusing on the Icebreaker 50, the modified feature that is scheduled for May 20th. It's going to air on June as part of their hour-long show, and then also the Sportsman Classic is going to be taped for air at the track on July the 3rd. Again, they're not airing live, so July the 3rd is the race date, and then it's going to air later on in the summer. The Speedway Showcase episodes, again, an hour long on the CW in Rochester, is going to be 11 o'clock on Sunday, June the 10th, and July the 22nd. And it's going to be on CBS at 7:30 on Sunday, June the 10th and July 22nd, in addition to the Buffalo market. So awesome deal. You can jump online and find out more about Speedway Showcase online, speedwayshowcase.com. What do you think, David? Anything else that we need to hit on?
No, I think that's pretty good.
We tried to cover as much of it as we could. I wish you the best of luck here when you get out there for some testing, turn some fast laps. Hopefully all the bugs are...
The bugs
are... yeah, I hear them in the background.
That's Dad there in the background yelling at me to get out of the shop. That's good timing.
All right. Well, we appreciate it again. Good luck. Check in through the course of the season. Let us know how everything's going.
All right. Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. And above all else, thanks for your service, sir.
You bet. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on the show. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right. Thanks.
There goes Dave Dubois. Ready to go with the Badge of Honor Association number 29 sportsman car with support from the U.S. Army Recruitment Center in Horseheads. That is going to do it for us here on the 31st Lap. Appreciate everybody tuning in to hang out with us for a little while. 239 in the books. We're going to be back in 2 weeks. Next week is the final round. Final round is on deck again at 7 o'clock on the 19th. We'll be back again, projected to be on the 26th of April. So for the 31st lap here on Finger Lakes 1 at the North Park Building at Academy Square, that's going to do it for us. We'll see everybody again in 2 weeks.